Would the children come forward, please? I bet it's supposed to be this way, isn't it? It's a heart. I know. I could tell. I was being silly. If you miss a day at school or preschool or something, when you come back, have you ever had people say, "Oh, you missed something really cool we did yesterday"? And you never had that happen? Have you? Yeah. You never had that happen? Well, sometimes if we're not there when something exciting happens, maybe some big famous person came to your class, who would be your favorite star? Your favorite singer or movie actor or somebody? Who would just be, oh, so exciting? Tell me.
Taylor Swift?
Okay. When you get back to school, they say, "Taylor Swift was here yesterday." Would you believe them?
No.
No. Well, after Jesus was killed and then he came back and he was alive, he came to visit the people who had worked with him, his disciples, except Thomas wasn't there. And he spent time with them and talked to them, except when Thomas got back and they're telling Thomas that Jesus was here and he's alive, he's going, "No way, no. No, can't happen. I'm not believing this." And so a week later, Jesus showed up and Thomas was there. And then he saw that Jesus really was alive. And then he believed that Jesus really was alive again. And Jesus said, "Well, you believe because you see. But God bless all those who believe who didn't get to see me, who don't get to see me." And that's like us and all the people here. We didn't get to see Jesus and shake his hand or hug him or anything. We didn't really get to see him, but we believe in him. And Jesus said that we're blessed. And he's pleased with us that we can believe in him even though we didn't get to physically see him. Yeah, Annika. Have you seen ghosts? No, but you believe that there are ghosts? Okay. Okay.
I've seen one.
Okay. 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 Carson has. All right. Well, some people have, Cora. Some people have. So, I don't know. I wasn't there. So, I don't know. All right. So, Jesus says we're blessed because we believe even though we didn't get to see him. Oh, well, that's good, though. You get to stay with Grandma and Grandpa, right? Yeah, that's good. Okay, we're going to say a prayer, and then you can take something from the basket, and there is Play-Doh and pencils and cool stuff over there. And Mr. Bill has plans for you, and Ellie's going to help you today, too. You're going to work on a project with Ellie. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, and it's even something you could make a mess with if you were really working at it, too. Jesus, we thank you for these children. We thank you for all our children all around the world. We ask that you help them, help their families, help their teachers, help all who love them and care for them, that they may feel safe, that they may feel loved, and that they might believe that you are with them. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good. Okay. Let us pray. Holy God, sender of saints, we worship you alone. Help us when we forget. Call us back to you. Call us back to being your beloved. Call us back to your work and your will. Jesus, we honor you and praise you. We thank you for healing and wholeness. We thank you for explaining and showing us how. Thank you for all our blessings. Thank you for freedom and family. Thank you for old friends and kind strangers. Thank you for safe homes, reliable machines, and plenty on our tables. Spirit, holy breath, move through our church, our nation, and your world. Make us loving and wise, forgiving and strong. Make us peaceful. Make us yours. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of John, after the resurrection. Chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the reading from John. My message this day is called Sent with Peace. If we hear the story of Jesus through the books of Luke and Acts, the Holy Spirit arrives on Pentecost, long after Jesus ascended into heaven. But today we are reading the story as recorded in John, and Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into his followers right after the resurrection. He literally breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. In today's passage from John, Jesus gave them what they needed. What was that? Easter is a celebration of new life, Jesus overcoming death. Easter is also the birthday of our mission. We received the promises, the gifts, our mission, our job as Christians, followers of Christ. The big shock? Our job is out there. After Jesus was arrested, tried, and executed, the men and women who had listened, loved, and worked with him were rightly scared. If their leader could be accused and killed, they might be as well. So they hid. They gathered behind locked doors and kept quiet. That seemed like a smart thing to do, right? You are less likely to get in trouble if you stay quiet and out of sight. If we stay in here with just us and never ruffle any feathers, we are safer. The pitchforks and torches will never show up. But Jesus got in anyway, didn't he? He walked right past those locked doors and breathed the Holy Spirit on all his frightened followers. And he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Excuse me. How do we get from there to here? Way back in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and landed in the Caribbean. In 1620, our congregational ancestors, the Pilgrims, landed at Plymouth Rock, looking for room to follow the Spirit. In 1806, five college students met in a farm field to discuss the spiritual needs of people in Asia and how they might address them. When a thunderstorm popped up, they took shelter against a haystack. That haystack meeting gave birth to the Board of Foreign Missions, which sent our first congregational missionaries to India. Thus, the haystack meeting is considered the birth of global ministries. Going, sitting, going. It is not about either sitting or going. Just as the disciples of Jesus long ago listened at his feet, learned, worked, and rested, we must learn and teach. Teachers may call it praxis. We learn, we go try out our faith. Then we gather again to share our stories, debrief, learn new lessons, and feast at the table. Then out again. Youth in interfaith dialogue often learn more about their own faith, because when a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist ask you questions about Jesus, you might have to go back and check your sources. Theoretical meets practical. Rubber meets the road. We learn more when we ask questions and practice our faith. Depending on the source, we know the students of Jesus spent months or even years with him, listening as he taught, watching as he healed and forgave. Remember the practice mission he sent them on? He sent them in pairs to teach and heal, exorcise demons, and feed people. And then they came back to him to ask those questions, share stories, and be fed again from their source. Just like those first disciples, we have all come here on different paths. Many of us just followed our parents into faith, not many speed bumps, just stayed the course. Others, like that tax collector or the woman who washed the feet of Jesus, were great sinners. He picked us up off the floor, brushed us off, and looked us in the eye. We all came here to thank him and sing his praises. We heard his teachings. All around us, we saw the lives he changed. Whether in Hungary or Mexico or Africa or in a TIFIN AA meeting, we have seen what the Holy Spirit can do, working through God's imperfect people. Can we do less? Yes, it feels safe here inside this house of worship. In our locked room, it is easy and simple to be a Christian. We hear scripture, we sing psalms, we pray, then we go back out and pretend we are not changed. Pretending is hard, though. We dare not embrace the hurting. We bury his love deep down. We do not show his peace in public. And then we wonder, what's the point of life? We worry about everything, no matter how many times he said, "Do not fear." We wonder, where is the good news? Here in the story, in the book of John, we hear that we are sent, just as God sent Jesus. We are not alone, and we have a mission. The confirmation class is working its way through our statement of faith. We regularly declare that Jesus saves us from aimlessness. What is aimlessness? Not having a mission, not having a purpose. That feels awful. Ask the confirmants. We have a mission declared through the biblical prophets and apostles handed to us by Jesus. There's the good news. All those lessons he explained, all that healing, feeding, and peacemaking he showed, that's our mission. Let not another moment slip by thinking there's nothing to do. If you have even one second where you think, I'm bored, or a day when you imagine no one needs you, just look at God's honey-do list. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus gives us peace, but not the peace we might dream up. Deep down, we know that if all we do is sit, even in here, it's not good for us. Maybe we do not sleep well. Maybe our health declines. Sit, sit, sit. Our friendships wither and we have nothing to sing and dance about, nothing to laugh over. We think sitting is peace, but is that true? In Genesis 2, our Creator breathed life into the newly formed earthling, Adam. In today's story from John 20, Jesus breathes new life and a new role into his students. His disciples, his students, become apostles. Apostle translates as one sent out. Jesus breathed Holy Spirit upon them and sent them out to heal, to forgive, and to reconcile. When you were baptized, you were symbolically washed clean, and then hands were placed on your head. The Holy Spirit be upon you, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church. The Holy Spirit was already there. Really, there's nothing magic in pastoral hands. But we hope the hands, the water, the bread allows you to feel, see, taste, experience the Holy Spirit. In the water and the hands, may you know the Spirit is in you, granting you strength and power and giving you peace. The Reverend Dave Jones from the McCutcheonville UCC is in Mexico this week. He deserves his rest, drinking fruity drinks on the beach and swimming with the sea turtles. That is not the kind of peace Jesus handed out to his followers. There were no umbrellas. It looks more like Don Crinsline leveling cupboards in Biloxi, Mississippi. The peace of Jesus looks more like missionary Amy Lester, who was here a month ago, translating Hungarian essays for the Reformed Church of Hungary. The peace of Jesus looks more like Janet Ferner sewing adorable school bags for refugee children, or Eileen preparing food for whoever might show up at the sharing kitchen. The peace of Jesus feels more like when you say you're tired, but it's a good tired. The peace of Jesus goads you into all sorts of planning and doing, listening and hugging and laughter and love and joy. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.